Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Amen. I praise God to have you with me. We're going to be reading from 1 Chronicles chapters 20 through 24. I hope you noticed, amen, that I have been away from the broadcast for a few days. I had a very short vacation, needed some time to refresh, and we did miss a couple of days on Monday and Tuesday. And on next Monday and Tuesday, we will pick up those episodes so that you don't miss a bit of the word. So we'll do double time on next Monday and Tuesday to pick up those episodes that we missed. God bless you, and I'm so glad you continue to look for those broadcasts and continue to stay with me. Amen. God is blessing. He's healing. He is delivering. God is still God. Amen. There's nothing that is too hard for him. So no matter what your circumstance may be, no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, what people have told you it's been like for them, God is able to surpass even your imagination. He says that he would, that anything that we ask, amen, he is able to give it to us exceedingly and abundantly above that we ask or think. Glory to God. We can't even imagine, amen, how great a move of God that he can move in our lives even right now. I give glory and honor to the Lord, the God of my salvation, the God of my hope, the builder of my faith, the lifter of my head, my provider, my king, my Lord. Amen. The one in whom I am in relationship. I praise God for this relationship. It is one that all of humanity, amen, is being beckoned into to enter once again, because it was always our purpose, always our destiny, amen, to be in relationship with the God of the universe. And I give him glory and I give him honor for choosing me to be among those in this day and this age that he chose to be one of his elect. Amen. He's calling all of us, each and every one. Not everyone will heed the call, but let it be you. You be the one that heeds the call in your family so that you can lead others, amen, into life everlasting. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said he came that we might have life, and that more abundantly, not just for the here and now, but also for the then and the there. Glory to God. Amen. We're reading from 1 Chronicles chapters 20 through 24. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking and praising you, Lord God. Amen, for vacation, for refreshing. Thanking you, Lord God, for breakthrough, for breakout. Thanking you, Lord God, for healing, for deliverance. Thanking you, Lord God, that you're bringing salvation with your mighty hand. I give glory to you, Lord God, for peace, for rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for a mighty, mighty move of your spirit. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for all who is listening, I just praise you, Lord God, because you continue to bless us and heal us, uplift us. Even when we have fallen away, you continue to pursue after us. And I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness. Bless, heal, and deliver. Even right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move right now, Lord, every obstacle and destroy every yoke of the enemy right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, move right now. Lord God, all over the world, move right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we come against every ancient evil, Lord God, that has come fast after our purpose. We bind it right now in the name of Jesus. God, rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we honor you and we praise you, Lord God. We ask that you open our minds and our hearts to receive of your word today, Lord God, to receive knowledge and understanding and wisdom, Lord, directly from your throne. Give us revelation from on high, Lord God. Give us dreams and let them be vivid. Give us visions, Lord God, so that we know how to walk in the midst of this day and age, Lord God, when there are things happening in the invisible that we cannot see. Oh, but God, you are God over them all. They cannot do anything unless, hallelujah, you give them permission. But Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that even in times of trouble, in times of distress, you uplift our head. You are the Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. And this war that is being waged right now is being waged on our behalf, because the battle, this battle and all battles are the Lord's. I praise God. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to rest in you and to rest in that this battle belongs to you, and you will be victorious, and we will too, because we are yours. I give you honor, Lord God. I give you praise, and I give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're reading from 1 Chronicles chapters 20 through 24 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it, and put them to work with saws, with iron picks, and with axes. So David did to all the cities of the people of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now it happened afterward that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines, at which time Sibekai the Hushathite killed, who was one of the sons of the giant, and they were subdued. Again, there was war with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami and the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature with 24 fingers and toes, six on each hand and six on each foot, and he was also born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother, killed him. These were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." And David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 20,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it, and he was destroying. The Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, "It is enough. Now restrain your hands." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. Now David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. These sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Arnon turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Arnon continued threshing wheat. So David came to Arnon, and Arnon looked and saw David. And he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Arnon, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." But Arnon said to David, "Take it to yourself, and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all." Then King David said to Arnon, "No, but I will surely buy it for full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offering that which cost me nothing." So David gave Arnon 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offerings. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Arnon the Jebusite for the Lord, and the altar of burnt offering which Moses had made in the wilderness were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel." So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut the hewn stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it." So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish his throne, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper, and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. then you will prosper. If you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters and all types of skillful men for every kind of work. Of gold and silver and bronze and iron, there is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord will be with you. David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. So when David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and above. And the number of individual males was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to look after the work of the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges, 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with musical instruments, which I made, said David, for giving praise. Also, David separated them into divisions among the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites, Ladan and Shammai, the sons of Ladan, the first Jehiel, then Jetham and Joel, three in all. The sons of Shammai, Shelomith, Haziel, and Haran, three in all. These were the heads of the fathers' houses of Ladan. And the sons of Shammai, Jahath, Zina, Jeush, and Beriah. These were the four sons of Shammai. Jahath was the first, and Ziza the second. But Jeush and Beriah did not have many sons. Therefore, they were assigned as one father's house. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziah, four in all. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever. Now the sons of Moses, the man of God, were reckoned to the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses were Gershon and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershon, Shebuel of Eleazar, Rehabiah was the first. And Eleazar had no other sons, but the sons of Rehabiah were very many. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelomith was first. Of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah was first. Amariah the second. Jehaziel the third, and Jekameam the fourth. Of the sons of Uzziah, Michael was the first, and Jeshiah the second. The sons of Merari were Mali and Mushi. The sons of Mali were Eleazar and Cush. And Eleazar died and had no sons, but only daughters. And their brethren, the sons of Cush, took them as wives. The sons of Mushi and Mali, Eder and Jeremoth, three in all. These were the sons of Levi by their father's houses, the heads of the father's houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and above. For David said, the Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever, and also to the Levites. They shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine
fine flour for the grain offering, with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbath, and on the new moons, and on the set feasts, by number, according to the ordinance governing them, regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. Then David with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar divided them according to the schedule of their service. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their father's houses, and 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar. Thus they were divided by lot, one group as another, for there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of the house of God, from the sons of Eleazar and from the sons of Ithamar. And the scribe Shemaiah, the son of Nethanel, was one of the Levites who wrote down before the king, the leaders, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and the heads of the father's houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Ithamar. Now the first lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jedidiah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Deorim, the fifth to Malchijah, the sixth to Mijamim, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shekaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jakim, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshibiab, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Immer, the 17th to Hezir, the 18th to Hapizaz, the 19th to Pathahadiah, and the 20th to Jezekiel, the 21st to Jakin, the 22nd to Camel, the 23rd to Deliah, and the 24th to Maziah. This was the schedule of their service for the coming into the house of the Lord, according to their ordinance, by the hand of Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And the rest of the sons of Levi and the sons of Aram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Zadiah, concerning Rehabiah, the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Ishiah, and of the Isharites, Shelomoth, of the sons of Shelomoth, Jahath, of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah was the first, Amariah the second, Jehaziah the third, and Jechamiam the fourth, and of the sons of Uziel, Micah, of the sons of Micah, Shemar, the brother of Micah, Ishiah, and the sons of Ishiah, Zechariah, the sons of Merari, were Mali and Mushi, the sons of Jeziah, Beno. The sons of Merari by Jeziah were Beno, Shoham, Jakur, and Ibri, and Mali, Eleazar, who had no sons. Of Cush, the sons of Cush, Jeremiel. Also the sons of Mushi were Mali, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their father's houses, and also cast lots, just as their brothers, the sons of Aaron, did, in the presence of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, and the fathers, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and Levites. The chief fathers did just as their younger brethren. I have read and you have heard for from the New King James Version of the Word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all, the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in all of our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God bless you, God keep you, and God anoint you. My prayer right now in the name of Jesus is that the word of God come alive in you. Every word that you have heard spoken, every word that you have heard preached, every word that you have read on your own, every word that's been passed down through your families, my prayer is that it come alive with the fire of the Holy Ghost, even right now in the name of Jesus, and that you begin to see the need, the longing within yourself that has always been there from the very beginning, from the fall of man. There's been a void within us because it is absent of the presence of God. When Adam was created, he had the presence of God with him, so he was never without God. But when he disobeyed God, there was a gulf between them now. Death had come in. There was not any death prior to that, but he died spiritually. He was dying physically because of that one disobedience. And that is the reason that there is a void within each and every man and woman, each and every child, that cannot be satisfied with anything except the Spirit of God. People try to satisfy it with so many things. They have this longing, this craving, this need. They don't know exactly what it is. So they try this thing and they try that thing and it doesn't work and they get depressed. Some commit suicide. Some actually commit murder because there is this unquenchable need within them, and that need is the presence of God. That need is a longing within you to go back to the first works of God. He always intended that we be in relationship with him. That is the void that is within. That's what you feel. We always were intended to be in relationship with the God of the universe, and there is nothing that can replace the presence of God in your life, no matter how far you try to push him away because you think something else will make you happy. Those things will not make you happy. Those things will not bring you joy, and I'm not saying you won't have happiness for a moment, but it will be a fleeting happiness that will not be lasting, because the only thing that can fill that void, the only thing is that is in the shape of that, the only thing that will permeate your entire being is the presence of God Almighty. Amen. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else brings a remedy. Nothing else is a cure-all except the presence of Jesus in your life. Amen. He is knocking even right now, constantly pursuing us, constantly pursuing us, constantly in pursuit of each and every one of us to fill us with himself. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The word tells us whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that man, that woman, that child, they shall be saved. Glory to God. We can't feel, amen, that emptiness with anything else but the presence of God and think it's going to be okay. It's not. Amen. Actually, trying to fill it with something else will bring more problems. It will perpetuate the problem you already had. It will cause a domino effect in your life. It will cause things to roll out of control, a snowball effect. You start out with a small little snowball, amen, the size of a dime, amen, and it gets bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden it's the size of a quarter, and now it's the size of a dollar bill because you didn't call on God. You called on somebody else. You called on something else. You tried to fill it with alcohol. You tried to fill it with promiscuity. You tried to fill it with work. You tried to fill it with your wife. You tried to fill it with your husband. You tried to fill it with your children. You tried to fill it with family. You tried to fill it with all manner of things, and that thing continued to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you just can't understand why it's not getting better. When you're loving all these people, when you're bringing them all close, why do you still feel empty? It's because that place that is in you was intended for the presence of God, and you cannot fill it with anything else. But you will find that when it is full of the presence of God, those other relationships, you will love them more. Where you thought you loved them before, you will love them more. You will see everything in a different way because the Lord will change your perspective. He'll change your perception.
revelation of things. And he will show you what living really is and what your purpose has always been. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Call on Jesus. He's the one. Amen. He's the one that wants to fill your heart. Amen. And change your life and change your mind and move things into right alignment. Amen. Things are just misaligned. He wants to bring things back into right alignment so that your life is in the place that it was always intended to be. All of us, amen, we're born for a purpose. We were all born into this time, into this day, and this age for a purpose. And all of it is great. Now, my greatness might not look like your greatness, but it's all great under, amen, the Lord, amen, and in his presence and by his spirit. Amen. Let's give God honor. Give him glory. Give him praise. And call on Jesus. He will answer you. He will see to you. He will fight your battle. He will heal your circumstances. He will show you a new and a living way. Amen. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Just because it seems right, it feels right, it tastes right. You know how they say if it quack like a duck, look like a duck, whatever and whatever and whatever. It's a duck, not necessarily. Because the enemy can mimic things and make it quack like a duck and look like a duck and smell like a duck and it might even taste like duck, but it's not duck. Amen. Glory to God. Now that was figurative. But amen. The Lord wants to give you a genuine experience with him. One that nobody will ever be able to take away from you. One that cannot be duplicated by the enemy. He cannot, because Jesus is real. Amen. His spirit is real. His movements are real. Amen. And he's waiting to move on your behalf. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you. You will continue to join me as we continue in this journey through a year in the Word. Amen.